you that are guests and visiting, thank you for being here. Praise the Lord. And home folks, thank you for being at church and being faithful tonight. Praise the Lord. Amen. Matthew 1 and 20, the word of the Lord says, "But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not, don't be afraid. Take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost." Amen. Now, in the next services or so, we may venture away from Acts 2:38. But I don't know why I'm feeling it as I'm feeling it right now. Amen. Could be because I'm tired of people being shortchanged and kept away from the scripture and the nuggets and the wonderful light and the revelation that is in the Word of God for them. Amen. I've heard a lot of preachers preach Acts chapter 2 and go to verse 36 and leapfrog over and then continue on. Why they would want to do that, I can't comprehend. But we're going to talk about it tonight. And here's what I want to preach. A flicker, a flame, a phenomenon. A flicker, a flame, a phenomenon. Holy Ghost, we ask you to move tonight again by your Spirit. We cannot add to what you have already done. For just a few moments, Lord, by your grace, we want to share some word. And we ask, Lord, for your will, your way, your Spirit power. Give us understanding in the name of Jesus. Somebody shout amen. God richly bless you as you're seated just now. Praise the Lord. A flicker, a flame, a phenomenon. Where did Acts 2:38 even come from? Can I tell you? Amen. It came from cussers. It came from liars. It came from fishermen. Amen. I'm glad I've got Acts 2:38, not because I thought I was a fisherman, but I've lived in Davidson County for, I don't know, a long time. And I probably could count the amount of fish I've caught here on one hand. So if I'm a fisherman, I by now would have starved to death. Thank God for Acts 2:38. Hallelujah. But it came from these kind of people. It came from thieves and tax collectors. And they probably would never tell you they'd done that because you would be mad at them. And then Acts 2:38 came from two individuals that walked with the Lord that only wanted a place beside him on the throne. All they wanted was position. Nothing else mattered. Amen. And so, through that bunch of people, we wind up with Acts chapter 2, verse 38, where the Holy Ghost came, and the fire fell. They went out speaking in tongues. Folks thought they were drunk. They said, "We're not drunk as you suppose. We're drunk, but not like you think we are." Boy, I love to pull those kind of drunks, don't you, Brother Tony? Amen. And so that's where it came from. But we got to understand that's where it came from. Here's the good part about Acts 2:38. You come as you are. I literally got a call about the wedding. And the lady asked, she said, "Can I wear pants to the wedding?" I said, "Sis, you just come as you are." And that's the good part about it. Amen. We come as we are, but it's the grace of God that we leave different than the way we came. I don't change anybody, but the Holy Ghost does. I don't change anybody, but the Spirit does. I can't change anybody, but the anointing can. Amen. And I thank God I've been changed. Amen. We do sing a song that the angels cannot sing. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And you're my brother, you're my sister, so take me by the hand. Hallelujah. Amen. Let the anointing continue to break that yoke, because that's what Acts 2:38 does. It changes us. Praise God. We come in as absolutely, and everybody shout, nothing. Amen. And then the fire falls, and then we become a flame. And then the doctrine hits, and we become an absolute phenomenon. I feel that in this house tonight. Amen. Praise God. I'm telling you, I'm preaching to a bunch of empty seats right now, but to me, every one of them have faces. Every one of them have hands raised. Every one of them on that front row right now can't hardly take it, and they're ready to run the aisles. Hallelujah. Why? Because it's the same thing that happened to you is going to happen to them. They came in as just a simple flicker, and then the Holy Ghost fell, and they became a flame. And then all of a sudden, they're a phenomenon, something that God can use. Can I just make an announcement while you're here? Hey, devil, some of the prostitutes you had are teaching Sunday school. How do you like that? Hey, devil, some of the alcoholics that you had a hold of are now running the aisles, preaching the gospel, evangelizing. How do you like that? Amen. We may not have been much when we came in, but after the fire falls, we become everything the Holy Ghost wants us to be. I preached a message all over the country entitled "The Jewish Junkman." I had so much fun with that message. Man, I'd take a ball cap into the and behind the pulpit, put that puppy on, and start telling my story. My dad was a dumpster diver before it was illegal. He probably done it a few times after it was illegal. Amen. And so I came off the evangelistic field to visit with him for a few days, and we drove into the yard. He was coming out of the door, and he waved at me. He said, "Hey, man, how you doing?" I said, "I'm fine." He said, "You want to go with me?" I said, "Yeah." And I wished a little while later I didn't say that. I didn't know he was going dumpster diving. And so here I'm with my dad, and we're going to go dig in a dumpster. We pull up, and the dumpsters are all there, and I look in the back, and there's no garbage. I said, "Dad, what are you up to?" He said, "There's some good stuff in there, man. Come and help me." I said, "What?" He said, "Come and help me." And I thought, that's my dad, man. We're going to dumpster dive. I put my hat on, pulled it down, and I got out. But I pulled it way down, you know, I'm just like. And so we, there we go. And I'm telling you, he loved that. He had an old barn, and he would take that stuff and fill that barn up. And when he got the barn full, he would just call people and say, "I got a bunch of stuff over here." He got connected, you know. And they would all come over there and buy that stuff and empty the barn, and then he'd go diving again. He made money on that stuff. But he gave me that message entitled "The Jewish Junk Man." My dad gave me that message. I love my dad for it, and I love that message. And he's what it was he was in there with his feet hanging out. I thought I was going to have to pull him out feet first. Thank the Lord my dad was smaller than me. Don't say anything, but he was. And so he was in there, and he pulled out, I can't even remember what it was. I think it was a three-legged table or something. I don't know. It should have had four, but it had three. And he pulled it out. He said, "Look at this. This is good stuff. Why do people throw away this stuff?" And I'm looking at it. I'm thinking, really? And he said, "Hey, it don't look like much right now, but when I get done with it." That was my father saying that. I thought, oh my word, I'm going to preach that. Hallelujah. Amen. Because I was that table. You were that table. You didn't have all that you needed. You didn't have all that you wanted. You were nothing near what God could have done with you. Amen. And the devil thought, "What do you think you could do with that?" And the Lord said, "He doesn't look like much right now, but when I get through with him, You're going to wish he was never born. You're going to wish he never spoke in tongues. You're going to wish he was never baptized. You're going to wish he never worshiped you. Hallelujah. You're going to wish he never leaped for joy. You're going to wish he never clapped his hands. Because when I get done with him, he's going to be more than a flicker. And he's going to be more than a flame. He's going to be an absolute phenomenon. And that's what we are for the glory of God. And that's what this church is for the glory of God. And that's what everybody in this house is right now for the glory of God. I don't care where you're from and I don't care where you've been. Amen. We're not going to lock into that. And we're not going to let that govern our lives. And it's not going to govern our customs. And it's not going to govern our lifestyle. We're going to come together as one body. And we're going to worship God together. And we're going to have revival together. Because it ain't me I'm worried about. It's the rest of my family that aren't in the church. It's the rest of my friends that are not in the church. That's what I'm concerned about. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm ready to charge hell with a bucket of ice water. So a flicker is a sudden, brief moment. Amen. And we don't have anything to give. We do not have anything to give except what God makes of us. Right? The first thing God created was absolutely nothing. He made everything from nothing, so the first thing he made was nothing. The first man God created was from the dirt. The waters above came from the waters below. Below. The first king came from a tiny tribe of Benjamin. Shamgar won a battle against his enemy with a stick. David won a battle against a giant with a slingshot. You don't have anything to give except what God makes of us. Moses stuttered. That's not much, is it? Saul had two problems. He wanted to look good to his peers. And secondly, he never made God his God. I'll prove it to you. Amen. Look at 1 Samuel 15 and 30. Amen. Where the word of God said, then he said, I have sinned. Samuel, I have sinned. Pastor, I'm sorry. Yet honor me now. Instead of forgiveness, he still wanted honor. He didn't want forgiveness. He wasn't sorry he done it. He was sorry he got caught. He said, I pray thee before the elders of my people, before the people, and before Israel, and turn again with me. In other words, I'm about to approach my people. I'm about to step out to all of Israel. Now, Samuel, walk with me. Make me look good. That I may worship the Lord your God. He didn't say, my God. He said, let's come together. I'm going to be in front of all the people. This is the way I need it. I want you with me. And we're going to go out there and we're going to act like we're worshiping your God. And then they're going to love me again. I hate to say it like this, but the man started as nothing and wound up as nothing because he never got further than a flicker. Amen. Somewhere in your life, when we come face to face with this, we have got to allow the fire to fall. And then when the fire falls, that's when we become a phenomenon. Amen. And I want something God can use. I don't want to fake it, because whoever said fake it till you make it was lying to you. You cannot fake this and make this. Amen. You can pretend, but God's eyes knows exactly what you're up to. Amen. And what I, listen, we need to understand, if we're ever going to accomplish something for God, living for him comes first. Attitude with him comes first. The character of a real Christian comes first. What you're doing in here right now is awesome. What I'm doing right now is awesome, preaching the word. Young people, what you did a while ago was absolutely awesome, responding to the Spirit. But what you are when you're by yourself is who you are. What you want to say in somebody's ear when nobody else is listening, that's what you are. And if I'm just simply saying, if you don't like that, let the fire fall on it. Let the anointing fall on it. And let's make a difference in our world, because somebody needs this. Hallelujah. You could be telling them. You could be helping them, persuading them to give their life to God rather than deterring them away. My, my, my. Hallelujah. Now, my mistake for a long season in my ministry was that my message was before my mission. The mission, I found out later, creates the message. Hallelujah. You can just tell anybody you want to. If you hear Brother Marshburn preach, you're going to hear soul winning. You're going to hear a passion for the lost. You're going to hear that you're not the one, you're not the only one in this thing. And God's will is you're not the center of everything He's up to. Amen. He wants to work through you to get to someone else just like He got to you. That's what you're going to hear. I don't apologize. I feel like apologizing, but that's what you're going to get. You're going to get revival. You're going to get evangelism. You're going to get church growth. You're going to get holiness. Yeah, you're going to get righteousness. Amen. Hallelujah. Because you can't, hey, everything about God is holy, and if you don't want holiness, you don't want God. Amen. Don't get mad at me because I'm preaching good. But the mission creates the message. Amen. When you adhere to the mission, the message will come. And that's what makes the man or the woman. The flame doesn't come from a name. It bounces off of sacrifice. When the sacrifice is consumed by the flame, it lights up the tabernacle. Praise God. I could take you through the tabernacle, but you're weary in well-doing. Amen. But I'm just telling you, amen. If there's no flicker when you get in the tabernacle, there can't be any flame. So the sacrifice creates the flicker. Well, what am I going to sacrifice? You asking for money? No, I'm asking for something greater than that. Well, what are you asking for, Pastor? I'm asking for you. I'm asking you to become the paschal lamb. I'm asking you to become the turtle dove. I'm asking you to become that pigeon. I'm asking you to become that goat they sliced the neck on and poured the blood out on the altar. I'm asking you and myself to sacrifice ourselves upon the altar so that the fire can fall and the Spirit of God can use us. Hallelujah. Amen. Come on now. I'm preaching deep, I know. But somebody's got to hear what the man of God is trying to say. Amen. I want to be more than a flicker. I want to be more than a flame. I want to be a phenomenon. I want people, when they walk away from me, I don't want them saying, my Lord, what is his problem? I want people, when they walk away from after talking to me, saying, whew, boy, they're upset, ain't they? I want them, when they walk away from me, to say, wow, that individual's got something going on. That person got something happening. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. There was a young man here at the wedding yesterday. I didn't know him from Adam. I don't even know Adam. And so I was kind of drawn to him. And I talked to him. I said, thank you for being here. He said, yeah. He said, I really wanted to be here. And I said, man, you're making all of us look good. Did you know that? He said, well, thank you. And I said, I like that suit. Again, he said, thank you. About 30 minutes later, I was sitting eating and somebody walked up, tapped me on the shoulder, and I turned, and he looked, it was him. He just wanted to talk to me again. He just wanted to talk some more. Hallelujah. People walk away from us, I want them to come back and feel like that we have something to give, something to share. And ladies and gentlemen, that's a choice. That's a choice. That is an absolute choice. Praise the Lord. Because that's somebody that wants to be more than just a little flicker. That's somebody that wants to be more than just a flame. That's somebody that wants to be a phenomenon. You want to change the world. You want to change people. You want to lift them up and you want to be a blessing to them. And they will follow you and they will face you and they want to talk to you and they want to be your friend. Am I right? Amen. Amen. It doesn't come from a name. It comes from sacrifice. Amen. Sacrifice means giving up something that you want for something that you want more. I told somebody not long ago how to overcome an addiction. I said, the way you overcome one addiction is you get addicted to something else. I know what addiction is. Hallelujah. Amen. And so, but I got addicted to the Holy Ghost. I got addicted to church. Amen. I got addicted to the Spirit of God moving, the worship, the praise, all of that. I got addicted to being apostolic. I got addicted to Pentecost. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And I don't have space for anything. We have to be completely honest with ourselves. The worst individual you could lie to is yourself. And the worst thing that can happen is that you become convinced. The Lord would love, you know, I love to hear Jeff Arnold preach. He's got that New York accent. Everything ends with a "uh." And so the Lord would love to be the sender if we can lose our agenda. He will send it. He will give it. He will pour it out if we can lose our own personal agendas. Amen. Hallelujah. And so God is wise. Did you know that? Did you know that God is very smart? God's wisdom is seen in the making of an elephant. His four legs of this great beast all bend forward. You ever notice that? His knees bend forward. His front legs bend forward in the same direction. No other animal is made that way. God planned that the elephant would have a huge, he's going to have a huge body, too large to live on two legs. For this reason, he gave it four fulcrums, it's called, so that it can rise from the ground easily. The horse rises from the ground on its two front legs first. A cow rises from the ground with its two hind legs first. Look at the Lord's wisdom in all of His works in creation. God's wisdom is revealed in His arrangement of sections and segments as well as in the number of grains even. You want to hear some kind of cool facts? Each watermelon has an even number of stripes on the rind. Some of you are going to be counting some watermelons at Walmart. Each orange has an even number of segments in it. Each ear of corn has an even number of rows. Each stalk of wheat has an even number of grains. You don't even want me to continue. But I'm just telling you, God is wise. He put this stuff together. And He did it right. When we came to God, we gave up stuff we really wanted for stuff we needed more. Amen. The lame man at the gate beautiful was begging for alms. The preacher said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have." I'm not going to give you what you want. I'm going to give you what you need. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. Could somebody just simply surrender the things you want, the things that you've been, the things that we used to be, and just simply surrender all that to God so He can make something better, so He can form and mold something greater, something more powerful, something more awesome, so you can so people can look at you and say, "You're not the same." No, I'm not the same because the Lord's growing me into something. You don't talk the same. You don't act the same. You're kind of cool to be around. That's right. And I'm going to get better because I'm going from a flicker to a flame to a phenomenon. By the grace of God. By the grace of God. He came in a manger. The angel called him a thing. Mary, don't be afraid. Joseph, don't be afraid. This thing that you're about to have is of the Holy Ghost. This little thing is going to be born in a barn. Animals everywhere. Well, don't make me preach that. I don't know what kind of animal I was, but I wound up right beside Jesus somehow. It was just a thing. It was just a small thing. And that thing created a flame. And then the flame created the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Hanging on the cross. You remember he said, here's what he said. I don't know why they treat me this way. I ain't done nothing. Remember? Remember he said, you hate me, I hate you. Remember? Remember when the blood was flowing, they beat him when he didn't deserve it, and they drove nails through his hands and he didn't deserve it? Who do they think they are? Remember he said that? I don't. What I remember is he said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. It's okay to be around people who don't know what they're doing. Just have a little forgiveness. Have a little mercy. Because when the Spirit of God finished moving on the flesh of God became one, the greatest phenomenon God ever performed. I just want to be a part of that. I've got to be a part of that. Does anybody want to join with me? Why don't you raise your hands and worship the Lord with me right now? Amen. I'm going to get up close and personal. We have people in the house tonight that are living in the blessing. You really are. They don't just talk in faith, but they walk in faith. We've got to have an obedient, teachable, and a very reachable spirit, or you're not going to even hear what I'm saying. You won't sense it. You won't feel it. And you won't be able to associate with it. But the Bible said in Hebrews 11, the hall of faith, by faith Abraham, by faith Moses, by faith Joshua, by faith Gideon, by faith, well, you get it now. And I could go on. So the phenomenon is power. It is that final touch of God that prepares us to reach our world. It's power. It's authority. And it's dominion over my flesh, my stinking thinking, over the world, and most importantly, over the devil. I feel it right now. You feel it? Why don't you exercise it just a little bit? I promise you, if you'll worship the Lord right now, the devil will flee from you because he can't take it. The anointing is here to break every yoke and to tear down every stronghold and to make us that phenomenon of power. Amen. You've heard it. I say it again. It's not a cakewalk. It's a faith walk. You are sitting close to people that can tread on serpents. Leap over sickness with a single bound. I'd like to see Superman do that. Outrun cancer. Multiply income by a single act of sacrifice. Amen. You don't want me to share what Alex's story is. Alex gave a little something, red envelope, and now he's got a silly grin on his face. You're going to hear about it. It's a phenomenon. Amen. Hallelujah. You're bored with what I'm talking about? Please, don't be clueless what this preacher is trying to say tonight. Amen. We cannot go if we cannot grow. You know what the message was to Mary when she came to the tomb and it was empty. Here's the message. Come see. Go tell. The angel said, come and see. Tomb is empty. Now go tell the others. He didn't say, come and be seated and get all you got. Get all you want. He said, come see. And when you see, go tell. Listen, our emphasis is our premises. Our emphasis is not me. The Bible said, to whom much is given, much is required, not entitled. This is America, and America feels like she deserves everything, but I do not deserve anything. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. Amen. Amen. Our premises is also the Word of God. When you carry the Bible, Satan has a headache. He wants a BC powder, and BC stands for him stands for before Christ. When you open the Word of God, he collapses. When he sees you reading it, he loses his strength. And when you stand on the Word of God, Satan cannot hurt you. Life without God's Word is like an unsharpened pencil. There's no point to it. Show me a Bible that's worn out, and I'll show you a Christian that is not. Let's stand together. The phenomenon is simple. All it takes is a life surrendered to the will of God. And everything, if everything in this house tonight decided, you know what? I'm joining forces. I'm going to give you a revelation you might not know of. Everybody in the house is human. And because of that, as I said this morning, is it going to be perfect? Absolutely not. But one thing we can commit, and that is that it will be our best. Whatever it may be, it will not be perfect. But it will be our best. And if everyone in this house tonight committed to the team, with no regard of anything, just simply, Lord, here I am, use me, choose me, any way you want me. The absolute greatest revival our nation and world has ever seen will break out from this church. And it will be your fault. And so if I'm going to leave this world being blamed for something, I'd love to be blamed for starting a revival. You've heard it, teamwork makes the dream work. And I've taught it across the nation in leadership. Amen. We come together so we can gather, not divide it. Amen. So, the greatest leaders in the world are winners. Look at Revelation 1:16. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. And his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. Wow. He went from the manger to being the master. And what I'm asking tonight, and I'm very serious, Landmark. Who will be with him? I'm calling all liars. I'm calling all thieves. I'm calling all angry birds. I'm calling all those that are upset. I'm calling all those that can just lose it. I'm calling all those that can just simply say, you know, that's not gotten me anywhere. Let's go somewhere else. Let's do something different. Let's do... I'm being challenged here tonight. I'm being stretched of God here tonight. The miracles that we're going to need in the not so distant future are going to take more faith than you and I have ever had. Ever. I kind of feel, it's got to feel like the prophet felt when he came to the woman and she said, that son that you prophesied about that I would have, that miracle you said God was going to give me, he gave it to me. And it's laying in there in the little room that we built for you, dead. You know what the prophet, you know what the man of God said? He said, oh my word. He said, this was kept from me. I didn't even know it. She said, well, it's true. He's laying in there on your bed and he's dead. And you promised him to us. He said, take me to him. She took him there. He closed the door. And the Bible says, you know for a fact in the Old Testament they did in the physical what we've got to do in the spiritual. And the Bible said, Brother Billy, the first thing he did was stretch himself upon the child. That man of God knew that if I'm going to see this miracle today, I got to be bigger than I've ever been. I've got to be something more than I have ever been. I got to be taller. I got to be wider. I've got to have greater faith. I've got to, something's got to happen. And when he made himself bigger, when he changed, that child woke up and came alive. And then Jesus said, greater miracles than these shall ye do in my name. You're going to raise the dead. You're going to cast. Hello? But do you actually want that? Are we content? We're just hanging around with a flicker, a flame? Or can every one of us decide together that we're going to be a phenomenon? That we're going to carry this? That when the rapture takes place, this room won't be the only room filled, but the next building we build will be full. I've said it to you two times and God has done it. Can it happen a third time? Could it be that the Lord wants to get the bases loaded so he can knock us home? I want to motivate the church tonight to move forward. Amen. Just come and represent the kingdom of God and stand with me at the altar tonight. Close your eyes so you won't have to think about your neighbor. Lift your hands and ask the Lord to take you further than a flicker, further than the fire, and make you an absolute phenomenon. But Jesus said, what I was, you can be. What I am, you can be. What I've done, you can do.
Make me more like you.
Come on, let's do this thing. Let's do this thing. Hallelujah. Yes, yes.
I want to be.
All the throne seekers, all the spoiled, all the hearts broken, because he took nothing. He took nothing and made something. Oh, Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Oh, yes.
Fall on me.
Reach out for it.
Anointing.
Fall on me.
Fall on me.
Come on, Lord. Let the power.
Let the power of the Holy Ghost.
Let the power.
Fall on me.
Oh, Lord, let the power. Let the anointing. Let the glory, let the spirit, let the mercy, let the hope and the help.
Fall on me.
Hallelujah.
Fall
on me.
Let the power of the Holy Ghost fall on me. Anointing fall on me.
You got time? Have you got time for a story? It's just a cool little story. This guy had hair down his back, pierced ear with a cross hanging in it. Came into the church, filled with the Holy Ghost. Didn't have a dime. 500 miles away from home. This guy, from the very beginning, he said he had his mind made up to serve God, live for God. No matter what it took, he was going to live for God. He ate peanut butter on the way to work, and for supper on the way home, he ate more peanut butter. And then all of a sudden, he was approached by this precious couple in the church. And they said, why don't you just come and live with us? And there they are, right over there.
Right.
Rick and Anita Postma. And I was that 18-year-old. Little hippie. Weighed about 100 pounds soaking wet because of all the stuff.
Jesus.
But I never backed up. I don't know if they realized or not, but they got stuck with me. I lived with them till I got married. Renee is here with her children, and Renee wasn't even born when I moved in with them. Rebecca was. Rebecca's not here. She's somewhere in Louisiana, living for God.
Yes.
I remember when it came time to leave. And I thought, what can I do? I couldn't figure out what to do for you guys because of what you had done. And so I just went to a card shop and I bought a card. I don't even remember what it looked like, but on the inside I wrote to Brother Rick, I said, and Anita, I said, I don't really know what God is up to in my life. And I really don't know what God wants to do with me. But whatever it turns out to be, it's going to be your fault because of what you put into me as a young man living in your home. I moved in as a little flicker because of them. I got involved in the flame. But I'd like to think that before this is all said and done, we're all going to be a phenomenon.
Yes. Hallelujah.
So don't tell me that my God cannot do it. He knows He can. We've just got to let Him. God bless you as you're dismissed tonight. Shake hands, be friendly, greet one another. God richly bless you. And again, to all of you that worked hard at the wedding yesterday, thank you so much.